more in the top of the fourth. They got one back in the bottom of the fifth. But a new pitcher in store, Mitchell Whitcamp, two games appeared in. A rising junior from Bel Air, Maryland, attends a D3 powerhouse in Salisbury. So he's had two innings pitched, allowing a hit, a run, and no strikeouts. So his last game he appeared in against was Battle Creek on June the 25th, where the Raptors won 13-3. He went an inning, allowing a hit and a run. But during that game where he pitched in the bottom of the ninth, it was an absolute storm, monsoon that came in. So much rain that was flooding the Battle Creek area. So he was just trying to get it done and just trying to get as many outs. The rain came in as soon as the bottom of the ninth started, and it was just, it was a lot for Whitcamp. So, and then, you know, you don't really count that as an 0-1 foul off backside from Townsend. And it was funny in that game, too, in Battle Creek, there was a line drive for, and there was two outs, a line drive into DeGotti at third. He dropped it, and everybody was so mad at him because they just wanted to get off the field. It's an 0-2 swing and a ball, well hit into right field, heading back towards the wall. This one hits off the top side of the wall on the right side. Townsend nearly hits a home run. So he'll take first. As Hunter Grimes will step in, struck out swinging. And got a double today. Also popped out to first. So Mitchell Whitcamp, a 4.5 ERA, as the tall, lengthy right-hander swings and a ball popped up. Bobo running after it and seeing if he can make the grab in time, and just does before one of the camera operators down there for one out. So potentially the final inning of this first game, as Joey Spence will step in. Flew out to center last time up. Whitcamp deals and finds a strike zone. 0-1. He's flown out to center twice and also struck out swinging. So the left-hander from West Bend, Wisconsin, Whitcamp, just below the zone on his second offering for a ball, 1-1. So standing at first is Townsend. He's got the big leadoff there now. Whitcamp kicks the 1-1. Ball pulled out right side, fouled, 1-2. One ball, two strikes. Great crowd on hand here at Witterfield on this warm and humid summer evening. Whitcamp sets the 1-2 and just an outside of the zone on the left side on a fastball. 2-2. So Townsend was ready to take second. But he stands at first now. Two balls and two strikes. Whitcamp again throws over to first and sliding headfirst into the bag. Townsend just gets there in the nick of time. Lakeshore up to seven hits. Raptors only one. The 2-2. Swing and a miss inside for strike number three. As Joey Spence will go down swinging. So two down. This brings up Avery Owusu-Asedu, who struck out swinging on his last two times up at the plate. Walked on his first time up. He's 0-2 today. So the tall right-hander on Mitchell Whitcamp with the ball in his glove. The kick, first deal inside for a ball, 1-0. At first is Townsend. He got a big hit that went off the top of the wall in right field. As Whitcamp checks over now. Nearly a couple inches away from going over the wall, and that would have put him at a solo home run. The 1-0, just down low, but sweeps the right edges of the zone for a strike, 1-1. One ball, one strike. Whitcamp deals down low, and outside of the strike zone. Two balls and a strike. Two-one count with two down. Looking over, firing, swinging a line drive that goes into the right fielder of Sailors, right into his glove for the third out. So we head to the bottom of the seventh. Can the Raptors find five or more runs, or will they fall in game one of this doubleheader here on WFHR?
If you have sustained an injury or have joint pain, you may need Wisconsin River Orthopedics. After a thorough examination, you may be prescribed therapy. Wisconsin River Orthopedics features their own in-house therapy center, staffed by experienced occupational and physical therapy professionals. If you need surgery for your ailment from one of their four surgeons, you may need therapy afterwards. Call 715-424-1881 or go to wroinstitute.com. 715-424-1881. Relieving pain and restoring lives.
Let's face it, mornings are tough. We could all use a little pick-me-up. The answer? El Cafe in Port Edwards. Not only will the atmosphere and friendly staff at El Cafe give you a boost, but their breakfast will knock your socks off. Enjoy one of their great daily breakfast specials, sure to satisfy, or really kick it up with their fish tacos and spicy salsa. Life's too short to have another boring breakfast. Get up, get going, and get to El Cafe in beautiful Port Edwards right next to the police station. Start your day with a kick at El Cafe.
Go yard this summer with cool cash rebates from Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Fireplaces, a proud partner of your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. Right now, you can upgrade to a new Bryant AC and get up to $1,350 in rebates and rewards on qualifying models. It's a surefire way to beat the summer heat and walk off in style. Comfort Air, your local experts, doing whatever it takes to keep you comfortable.
Hurry, this offer is good until the end of June. Get started now by visiting comfortair.biz. That's comfortaire.biz.
Now, let's get back to exciting Raptors baseball here on WFHR.
Bottom of the seventh, we go. Raptors trail 6-1 as a new pitcher in store for the Chinooks. DJ Hess will be making his 10th appearance, an 0-1 record with a save. He has 16 and a third innings pitched, allowing 22 hits and 9 runs, but he has 11 strikeouts on the season. So from Germantown, Wisconsin, the rising senior will take over the pitching duties in potentially the final inning of this first game. So stepping in is Harrison Didewick. Struck out swinging and flew out to center his last time up. Hess will fire. And on the right side, out for a ball, 1-0. So Hess appeared against the Raptors on June the 12th and also June the 17th as he serves in out for a ball, 2-0. Two innings pitched back on June the 12th with a strikeout, and he had one and a third innings pitched on the 17th, allowing four hits, two runs, and also one strikeout as well. Throws the third ball, so 3-0 count. Hess will kick and serve and right down the plate for a strike, 3-1. Matthew Moeller went six innings, 87 pitches, allowing a hit, a run, four walks, and seven strikeouts. Once again, the 3-1, Didewick just misses inside, 3-2. So the count runs full, three balls and two strikes. Hess shakes it off. He likes to pitch now. And will serve in. Didewick swings and cracks a ball into right field. Heading back towards the wall. This stops at the wall. Didewick grounding first, heading for second. And his first hit of his Raptors campaign comes here in the bottom of the seventh. He gets a double. So this will bring Jorge Degatti. Flew out to right field both times up. So a big hit for Harrison Didewick. Hess will look at second, and Didewick leads off now and fire in the first offering right down the plate for a strike, 0-1. Degatti, before today, led the team in batting average with .371. 13 hits on 35 at-bats. Hess will deal the 0-1, swinging a jam shot that drops in to shallow right center. Degatti to first, Didowick to third, nobody down. And the Raptors now up to three hits now. Possibly something brewing as Nolan Sailors will step in. So back-to-back hits for Wisconsin Rapids. Sailors walked on both of his times up at the plate. And both times he walked, he saw four straight balls each. So hasn't seen a strike today. And perhaps that's a good thing. Hess will fire. And there's the first strike. On the left edge of the plate, 0-1. No balls, one strike. The 0-1 way outside for a ball, 1-1. One ball, one strike. 1-1 count. And serves a third offering down low for a ball, 2-1. At first is Degatti. Third is Didowick. Two balls a strike. Hess will look down. He'll serve and swing and a miss down low as that ball curved in on the right edge of the plate. 2-2. Off-speed pitch of 77. So the Raptors, perhaps something brewing here in the bottom of the seventh. Hess will set in. Fire the 2-2, swinging a bouncer over to the first baseman, and Kelly throws it at second, and it's in time as Degatti gets out. Didowick scores. And getting the first was Sailors. So one down, Raptors make it 6-2 now, as Didowick gets his first run of his Raptors season, as Levi Jensen is due up. Jensen grounded out to short and also grounded out to second. As the first offering comes in for a curveball, 1-0. At first to Sailors, Levi Jensen 0-2 today. Grounded out both times. The 1-0 on a curveball once again. Sweeps the right edge down low of the zone, 2-0. Two balls, no strikes, and one out. Once again, the 2-0. Swinging a shallow ground ball. Running after it is Council. Fields it up, throws it over to first for the second out. So Jensen grounds out once again, advancing the runner in Sailors to second. But potentially the final out of the first game, Luke Hansen, who walked last time up. So back-to-back groundouts at second for Jensen. At second is Sailors, Luke Hansen, 0-2 today. And Hess will come set, fire in, and find the zone, 0-1. No balls, a strike. Two down. Hess will set, the 0-1. Right down the plate. 0-2. No balls, two strikes. Two outs. Coming set and serving the 0-2 just outside is Hess for a ball. 1-2 count. Luke Hansen wearing number 12 for the Raptors. His first appearance in a game today. The 1-2. And a curveball down low. Just finished a long season with the Virginia Cavaliers. A team that made the College World Series but was eliminated after losing to TCU in Florida. So the 2-2 from Hess. And ball pulled out right side. Fouled. So staying alive is Hansen. Two balls and two strikes. looking in, and coming set is Hess. He'll look over at second. Saylor is the big leadoff. The 2-2 swing and a miss for strike number three. And that will do it for game number one. The Rafters fall 6-2. They gave up three runs in the top of the second, three more runs in the top of the fourth. They got a run back in the fifth and a run back here in the seventh, but they just could not find any momentum offensively. A team that just was halted by the excellent pitching of Matthew Moeller, who had seven strikeouts today. And Wisconsin Rapids is just going to have to look to find a way to be better in the second game. Coming up shortly here in about 20 minutes. So not that much time to dwell on this game, because they know they're going to have to look to steal a game back, because Lakeshore grabs the first game in this series, winning this one 6-2. They out-hit the Rafters 7-3, but two big innings. That was really the decider, the second and the fourth. Other than that, the Rafters would have been a close game, but unfortunately those big innings for Lakeshore really put them at a hurt. So back here in about 20 minutes or so, Hayden Cody will be getting the start on the mound for the Rafters, the Cal State Northridge product, who has a 1-2 record. As for the Lakeshore Chinooks, Ryan Sell will be getting the start on the mound. We'll find out. We'll have lineups here shortly, coming up in about 15 to 20 minutes. Stay with us here on WFHR for game number two. We'll see you shortly.
They spend their work life helping others. Police officers, firefighters, active and retired military service members, first responders, healthcare workers, and teachers. Chris Inda, realtor with Next Home Partners, helps finding their home life a little easier.
Hi, I'm Chris Inda. As a veteran myself, I know how important it is to have a place you can rest, recuperate, and call home.
Ask about the Homes for Heroes program today at 715-741-1851 or search for Chris Inda Realty on Facebook.
Rafters Baseball is brought to you by Sharon Zeman, Sky Manning, Clay Kanoki, and Joe Arnold, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisors. Learn how they can help you reach your financial goals. Visit edwardjones.com. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
You have been listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR. Brought to you by Wisconsin River Orthopedics, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Aspirus Health, Solaris, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Delta Dental of Wisconsin, SNS Distributing, El Cafe, Edward Jones Sky Manning, Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, Chris Inda Next Home Partners, and Dixon Gun Shop. Stream every game all season long at WFHR.com or through the Civic Media app.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director, James, and head of production, Seth, will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's art supporting artists in their own words.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Partly cloudy tonight with lows around 61. Northwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Mainly sunny tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 86. Tomorrow night, lows around 61. Temperatures above average Saturday and Sunday with highs in the mid-80s. Chance for scattered storms Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 86.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
Well, Welcome to the Main Street Cafe. You are in Bloomer, a few miles north of Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. A small town, 3,000 people, but there are big things happening at the cafe.
Every year, on the average of about 150,000 pies.
150,000 pies and more than 65 varieties made, sold, and enjoyed here. But can you guess which is the most popular pie choice in Wisconsin? Apple, cherry, or pumpkin? The answer coming up.
Most of it's made by hand. The taste, the flavor. We use real Wisconsin dairy products.
Real dairy products, including free ice cream on your pie and free refills of milk. It's something cafe owner Donnie Stoic likes to brag about.
The horn I like to toot. We do that every day, not just during June.
As we wrap up our celebration of June Dairy Month, did you guess? Cherry pie is the Wisconsin favorite, according to Instacart. Now we want to know yours and who makes it. Go to our Civic Media Facebook page to share your answers. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Wisconsin is the place to be for basketball. Not just because the Badgers were crowned the number one team in the Big Ten last year, but also because UW Health Orthopedics and UW Hospital are ranked number one in Wisconsin. Together, we form an unstoppable team. No matter if you fracture your foot from a jump ball or strain your voice from a bad call, UW Health delivers the best care in the state. Here to help every Badger take on another season of victory. UW Health. Remarkable.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Who partied like a Russian, partied like Russians, and probably nearly didn't come back from the USSR, the former USSR. John Miller and Ben Leskowski. You know, last time we talked, you guys were planning this trip, and I was literally like worried, like, oh, I'll say goodbye to him. Might be the last time you see him.
Yeah, this whole plane, train, and helicopter ride will kind of divert me. What?
Don't forget the bus.
So
what,
don't.
What drove you guys into that?
Yeah, don't. I mean, don't forget this. This is a trip that takes 89 hours over the course of how many days?
Three days.
Three days. 89 hours. Take me through what, first of all, what in the hell makes you think that you should do this in the first place?
Yeah.
And secondly,
yes.
What's it like as you're on your way there getting ready to hunt grizzly bears in Russia?
I don't think the trip out was as bad as the trip coming home, because we knew what we were getting ourselves into on the way back, but.
Oh yeah, you're excited, ready for.
So
landing.
Tell me how does the trip go? Give me a summary of how that trip goes to get there in the first place and where you're going.
So we flew out of Chicago O'Hare to Istanbul, Turkey.
It's Istanbul, not Constantinople.
Yep. And so then we laid over there for a little while, and then we jump on a plane to Moscow. And directly as soon as we get off the plane, we go across town to another airport.
Stop. Stop. I don't think you just go to Russia, though. I mean, you don't just like, show up with your passport in Russia, do you?
No, you got to get a Russian visa.
Okay.
You can apply for like a, I don't know, a shorter one, or you can get a year one, or you can get a 3-year one. But that
so
takes
when
a
you
bit.
Go to Russia, are you stopped? Is there like, you know, former KGB dudes around?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Talking
yeah.
to you? Do they talk to you? What do they ask?
Yeah, we have a short like? Interview. They ask just some simple questions just to make sure who you are, you know, with the visa that you have.
But so they're asking you. They've researched you.
They know about you. Yeah.
They know about you.
Yeah.
Is that freaky?
I would have been terrified about that.
I was fine.
I don't think I would get into Russia, having worked in the government for 14 years, 15, 16
yeah,
years.
You might not get a visa.
I mean, for real.
For real? Come on. You'll
Mr. Clayfish, we would like to know what are your motives.
Sit down here.
What are your motives as you visit Russia?
Don't move.
So did that happen? Were they asking what your motives were there and why you were going to be in Russia? Or
yeah, pretty much.
You know, did they ask you about like, hey... You know, was it fairly pleasant?
Yeah, it was fairly pleasant. I mean, the weirdest thing was they asked how we felt about the war in Ukraine and stuff like that. And
that's interesting. I don't know that I'd want to answer that question to Russian
folks. Yeah, I feel like
folks.
It's all, either way you answer, it's going to be a wrong answer.
No, it's not. You just got to say you love Russia, and then that's all they want to hear.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So that's what everybody said.
I was in Russia when it was still the Soviet Union, and I have to say the people that I met there were some of the kindest people I've ever met. And the beluga caviar was one of the best tasting things I've ever eaten in my life. Okay, so you're in Moscow. Then what's your next step? Then what?
Well, we overnighted in Moscow.
Hold on. This is Ben Leskowski. We're trading mics back here. I got to talk to Crew. We need another mic in this studio. We need four mics. All right. So, Ben, you get to Moscow. Then what?
Okay. Well, we got to Moscow from Istanbul, and we actually ran around. We were in a Russian shopping mall. We had to exchange money.
What do they have in a Russian shopping mall?
It was a lot like America.
Really? Levi's and...
Yep. Food, Levi's. We went to...
Do they have McBorscht at McDonald's?
We saw Burger King.
Okay.
We saw Burger King there.
All right.
But anyways, so we got a whole bunch of foreign currency exchange for the guys that were following us. We went with 9 of us. And then we got back to the hotel, and we spent the night in the hotel. And then in the morning, we got up, and we got back to the airport, a different airport, and flew, what do they call that, when you're in country?
Domestic
flight, yeah.
So when you get to Moscow, that's already your second day, right?
Yeah.
On the road.
Well, yeah, when we're leaving it, it's our second day. And we were on the far western side of Russia, and we were flying to the far eastern side of Russia. So it was over a 9-hour plane ride, and we went through 9 time zones in that time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Holy
So I mean, it kind of screws you up.
9 time zones in Russia alone.
Yes. So then,
think of the vastness of that land.
Yes, exactly. I mean, you cannot fathom the size of it. I mean, it's like two of the United States, really. I mean, you can get from New York to L.A. in 4 hours, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, it's like more than two. Yeah,
two United States is next to each other. Yeah.
So basically, as soon as we landed at Petroplavik, I might butcher the name a little bit, but that's what I call it. we got off the plane, went through like customs, got interviewed there again, and got on a bus for an 8.5-hour bus ride. Up into the mountains.
On a gravel road.
Yeah, and most of it was a gravel road. It was beautiful scenery, you know.
Okay.
We stopped at one little store, got some liquor, some food, some, you know, drinks and stuff for camp. And then we got to a really cool hotel, motel, whatever you want to call it, in a little town called Esso. I'd be guessing and saying maybe it was 2,000 people in town, 1,000 people in town. It was pretty small.
Now, what about your luggage at this point? How much luggage did you pack, and was it with you the whole entire time? Like, I would be terrified about that. I feel you would need a lot of clothes, a lot of layers.
Not really.
That's
a lot
of luggage.
It was not as cold as you think. I mean, it was like deer hunting in Wisconsin. It was in the high 40s during the day, low 20s when we were out in the morning. Most days were sunny and warm. You know,
okay.
So I mean,
so Petroplavik to Esso, and then Esso on another bus.
No, Esso. Then we took a helicopter to camp.
Okay, now you're on a helicopter. So this is day 3 or 4, John?
Well, it's the third day.
Yeah,
really.
Be the third day, yeah.
Okay, right. So then you get to Esso. Have you eaten at this point? Are you eating along the road?
Yeah, we're eating.
What are you eating?
Well, I had the best rotisserie chicken I ever had in Russia, so I got
really?
I got to get the recipe chicken for that. But other than that, not so good.
Will there be a little language barrier when you're trying to get the recipe is my real question.
Yeah, pretty much a guarantee, yeah.
Also, it's a cat or something. Wait, this isn't right.
Well, it did look like a cat, but they said it was chicken. But it was good.
But you were so hungry by that point, it probably was fine.
It was wonderful.
I mean, I remember the food in Russia as being intriguing, very bland.
Yes.
But I really liked, like, the caviar. I mean, the caviar, the salmon roe, and the beluga caviar, which is the black caviar from sturgeon, is phenomenal. Okay, we haven't even got to camp yet, and half the show's gone. So I can tell you, this show's going to move fast because this is a fascinating topic. We're talking to John and Ben Leskowski. We'll be right back. I'm Raised in Wisco. See you in a minute. Be right back. I'm Raised in Wisco.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
My friend Teddy almost set his house on fire. He used a counterfeit, you know, a fake wall charger. He had to go to the hospital.
My big sister Jenna's face turned bright red. She was just showing people online how to use a new cream. She still has the scars.
My brother's friend Billy had to jump off his motor scooter when it caught fire. He fell and got hit by a car. He broke his leg, blew his chances to play basketball in college.
My BFF Chloe was riding her bike and hit a ditch. Her helmet broke in two. Now, she has a brain injury.
There is a cost to buying cheap. Do you want to pay the price?
Real products are tested for safety. Protect yourself. Don't fall for fake products.
Visit ncpc.org/goforreal. Brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the United States Patent and Trademark Office.
Saddle up, buckaroos. It's time to start the cattle drive with Trail Tunes, the new cowboy, western, and south of the border show on Wiscountry 105.5 WIRI. Every Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m., join me, Gene, Roy, Tex, and Rex with songs of lonesome cowboys, wicked rustlers, and sighing senoritas. From the sons of the pioneers to riders in the sky, Trail Tunes will have you wishing for those wide open spaces. Every Thursday from 7 to 8, only on Wiscountry 105.5.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Partly cloudy tonight with lows around 61. Northwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Mainly sunny tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 86. Tomorrow night, lows around 61. Temperatures above average Saturday and Sunday with highs in the mid-80s. Chance for scattered storms Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 86.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
I talked earlier about Kaz at Buck Rub, who actually hunted with Fred Bear. The name of this song, Fred Bear by Ted Nugent. Actually had the honor and privilege of hunting with Fred Bear at one point. You're listening to Raised in Wisco on 540 AM, WAUK, 101 FM, The Shaw. And very apropos that we had Fred Bear bringing us back from the commercial, because we've got John Miller and Ben Leskowski here, who just got back from their bear hunt in Russia. And it is such, I'm telling you, you can sit and listen to stories from this trip for hours. We're halfway through the show and we've only got them through Petroplavik to Esso, Russia. And one of the things I want to talk about, and I want to see if you notice this, people think of Russia. When you say Russia, they think of Moscow, the Kremlin, the big hats, you know, the big fur hats, babushkas, Kazakhstan, maybe. But if you realize the vast giganticness of Russia. It's so multicultural. And the area of Russia you were going to is right, it's really part of Asia. It's right above, you know, the Japanese islands and above China. And so the was it cool? Was it neat to see the variety of culture and cultural influences? Because that's something that's always fascinating to me, is experiencing different cultures. And I don't think most people who talk about Russia realize how multicultural Russia is and how different it is from one end of it to the other.
Yeah, to answer that question, it was a really cool experience. I mean, obviously everybody spoke Russian, but we, especially once we got to Essel, you started seeing, you know, like you said, some of the Asian type, you know, Eskimo type Inuit people. You know, there's still the Russian people there too, but, you know, the ethnicity changed a little bit, but everybody still speaks Russian. And when we got into camp, half of our guides were Inuits and half of them were Russians. You know, I mean, of, you know, the European descent Russians, they were all Russians, but like I said, it was a very cool experience. I mean, it was nothing like I expected. And but nothing in a negative way either. You know?
What were you expecting?
Well, I guess I was expecting a little bit more coldness, maybe a little more difficulty, but I was prepared for that. But I mean, we had none of that. It was a very organized trip by the outfitter. I mean, we had people riding along with us, making sure all the paperwork was right, and, you know, helping us through all the checkpoints and stuff. You know, I mean, it was very, very non-stressful.
It was
that
smoother
way
than you thought it might
right,
be.
Right, right.
John, you were, one of the interesting things, set the stage for me about when you're hunting and the amount of snow in this area, because this blows my mind.
Yeah, quite a bit of snow. So it's basically on the Bering Sea. So there was probably 15 to 17 feet of snow maybe in some of the mountains. And I
15
was,
so basically you're seeing small Christmas trees on top of 17 feet of snow, and you're really seeing a 20-foot tree, a 20-foot pine tree, and you're just seeing the top of it.
Correct, correct. Yeah, I'm like, whoa, who planted all these seedlings here? And actually, it's the top of the tree. So when it crazy. So when it warmed up and you didn't have, like, snowshoes on or something like that, you'd just be walking, and all of a sudden, ooh, you're down to your armpits. And it's like, okay.
And then you're still on 10 feet of snow below your
absolutely
feet.
You got to hope you hit a branch. Otherwise,
what happens if you are, I mean, what happens if you were to break through the crust on the top of that snow and sink 20 feet in snow?
Well, there's so many trees that I think the trees save you from going
so
all the way
down. So you're literally counting on trees to not be completely under snow.
Yeah,
20
correct,
feet
correct.
Under snow. Yeah. I don't, man. And then you go hunting on snowmobiles to find the bears.
Correct.
You go try to find the bears on snowmobiles. So what is, so I'm a bad passenger. I'm filled with anxiety when I'm a passenger to begin with. And then you were telling me they kind of go like a bat out of hell on these snowmobiles. So you got all your hunting gear on, you're dressed for the weather, and you get on the back of a snowmobile, right?
Correct.
And then what happens?
Well, you just ride around and looking for fresh tracks. And if they come across something that looks fresh to them, you just start following them.
But you're on the back of a snowmobile on top of 20 feet of snow.
Yeah, in a sled. They have a sled that they tow behind, and actually they're
so
quite
comfortable. So you're sitting in the sled.
Correct.
Oh wow.
Behind.
I would
behind it.
Right,
like we used to, I mean, like I would get towed around when I was a kid behind a snowmobile.
Like a dog sled, but they tow it behind the snowmobile, and basically got you sitting on a like a car seat, and you're strapped in, and you got your goggles and your ski mask on.
Like
and
a booster seat?
Yeah. something like that, a giant booster
John
seat.
And a big booster seat. In
with little
sled.
Pom-poms hanging off the
side. It really wasn't, it wasn't too
like
bad.
Is there like a little child on board sign on the snowmobile? For
you? I put that in the back of my
head. No, it wasn't too bad, but so you get out there, you end up, you know, harvesting. So you catch up to where the bears are and you kind of put the stalk on them, and you were able to, you shot a bear at the top of a mountain.
Correct.
Or top
yeah
of a snowdrift.
Yeah, it was pretty much a mountain. Yeah.
So you're at the top of a, you're at the bottom of the mountain and you shoot the bear at the top of the mountain. Then what happened? Take the listeners through this story.
So my two guides on their snowmobiles thought they would try to drive up there. And one was like 64, I think. And
now,
the other...
you can't understand a word they're saying and they can't understand a word you're saying, correct?
No, there's no, they understand anything. Nothing.
They don't, you're
nothing
with them. And
they know like stop or they know shoot, but they and gun, but they don't know anything, and you don't know what they're saying. But anyways, I figured out they were going to try to make a run at the spare, and it was probably at like a 50 or 60 degree angle up. And he got probably three quarters of the way over, and then both snowmobiles flipped over backwards.
Flipped over backwards? Oh,
backwards.
Oh, were you on the snowmobile?
No, I was at the bottom.
So you're watching your guides, the experts in this,
right?
Like going up a sheer cliff of snow and God knows what in the way, and maybe trees, and they both flip backwards off over their...
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So are you cold at this point?
No, I'm not cold. I mean, I was full of adrenaline then. It was warm, and they just called me up and said, come on, wave me up to help. And I took after the mountain. But, walking in 10 feet of snow or 12 feet of snow and you break through is pretty tough. But
so how did they get these sleds, these snowmobiles, these snow machines? Did they get them up the face of this cliff?
They got them about three quarters of the way up before they flipped over.
Then what?
Well, then we dug them out, and we got them pointing in the right direction down the hill. And we actually climbed up to the bear and put a rope on it to tow it down. And on the way down, it got hung up on something.
The bear.
The bear got hung up
on
something.
So you're on the snowmobile.
Right. Behind the guide on the snowmobile, towing the bear down a 60 probably degree mountain.
So he's going down the mountain sheer.
Uncontrollably.
And a 1,000-pound bear is trailing you by rope.
Correct.
That sounds like there are many opportunities for something to go drastically wrong.
Oh, it did, yeah. So on the way down, we hung up on a stump or something, or the top of a tree or whatever. I'm not real sure we hung up on. And the bear got hung up, and we went flying.
So the bear, so like a bungee cord at its limit, all of a sudden it stops. The sled's going 30 miles an hour. It stops. And you guys go rear end over tea kettle.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, he flew through the windshield and pulled that off and part of the hood off. And ripped his pants off. So now we got a half-naked Russian on the side of the mountain. Oh my
God. What?
So I'm six, what? You know, I'm 6 foot and 230 pounds, and I landed on top of him, unfortunately.
And you're out in the wilderness with a half-naked Russian?
Come here, let's keep warm.
Oh, my gosh. That sounds like a beginning of a horrible joke. So for Danielle, are you going to be all right? Danielle, you're starting to tear up over
that's
there.
That's really funny.
Well, it's funny now.
But
it wasn't so funny at the time.
I bet it wasn't funny at all.
No. So
the first thing I
stare in amazement. Like, you paid for this.
You paid to do
you
this.
Paid for
you
this.
Paid to do
this. Yeah.
Is he okay?
Well, nice for time. A minute or two, I didn't think he was okay. He didn't say anything, and he was just laying there.
So did you? So he flies off. You fly off the I mean, your
the momentum took us,
momentum, inertia. You fly off over after him. Yep. Do you guys land next to each other?
I hit him and then flew past him.
You landed on him.
And then went over him, yeah. And then over the side of the mountain to the bottom.
And how far down?
25 feet maybe or so. Not far, but...
Were you hurt?
No. There was like 15, like I said, a lot of snow, so...
So how do we get this bear back?
Wait a minute. No. We can't get there yet. I want to know if he's this guy. I want to know if the guide's okay and where are his pants?
Well, his pants are hanging on the handlebar of the snowmobile.
Okay, why were his pants so loose?
Well, they weren't. There was just so much momentum.
The pressure if you're going 30 miles an hour and hit a dead stop.
Dead stop.
Okay, but first I'm thinking about shoes. Did we... What about these shoes?
Oh, he had his shoes on yet.
Did we?
He had
just no pants.
On, but no. Oh my! But was he hurt? Was he bleeding?
He wasn't bleeding. He had a huge, his leg just swelled up like crazy. So it was more of his leg and
His leg must have hit the handlebar.
In his ribs, yeah. I think he got most of it on his upper thigh, but he did have some sore ribs. But he laid there for like 2 or 3 minutes, and he didn't really say much, and wasn't moving. And then I kind of freaked out because I'm like, what am I going to do now? This guy's laying here. He's not saying anything.
And you have no GPS out there. You're out there by yourself in the middle of
the only thing I know how to do is put a tourniquet on somebody, and that probably wouldn't have helped them. So,
and they're probably just, once they are both awake, just yelling and rushing at each other. So
was he knocked out?
That would freak me out as well.
No, he just was laying there. He just didn't really.
Was it just the two of you, or was there?
There was three of us, actually. There was the two guides and myself. But
did you shake him? Did you go over to him? Did you think at some point I might have to give CPR to this guy?
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking he was screwed because I have no medical training. So.
Well, tough luck.
I cannot.
See you later.
Holy cow. So he starts moving, and then what? It's not like you can't say to him, are you okay? He doesn't know what that
is. Yeah,
means.
The other guy made his way down, and I gave him my pants. So now I didn't have any, had some Helly Hansen rain gear type things on that I was wearing over my clothes to keep myself dry. And so I gave him those, and then he came to and just kind of just limped around a little bit, but shook it off. And, you know, he was 64 years old. He was a pretty, they're tough
cow,
people.
That is a tough, they're tough people. One tough Russian.
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
Wow. And so you get back on the snowmobile and keep going?
Well, we got her skinned out, and we skinned the bear out at the bottom of the hill there and packed it up and had some lunch and headed back.
How long was the ride back?
Probably maybe 3 hours. I think we put on maybe 300 miles a day.
3 hours on a snowmobile. Yeah. That's a long way to go snowmobile. Right. And did he have to seek medical treatment when he got back? Or?
No, he was just pretty bruised up and banged up. Pretty black and blue the next day.
You went
right to the vodka.
You could have died. You know that.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
I mean, that's not... We're not messing around here. I mean, had you flown over each other or hit each other in the head when you landed, you both could have been... That could have been your final resting place in the middle of Esso, Russia, in the middle of nowhere.
Yep.
And yet he booked another trip to go out there.
John is going back to Russia within this same year, because clearly that was not a close enough brush with death.
That's what makes it fun.
Hey, Ben, tell me why... Tell me why you were hungry enough to eat raw bacon and what the...
We are live back here at Witter Field for game number two of this doubleheader between the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters and the Lakeshore Chinooks. Good evening, everybody. Joey Fear with you here on WFHR 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. Well, just a couple hour ago, about a couple 30 minutes ago, the Rafters fell to the Chinooks by a score of 6-2. It was a game where they just couldn't find any rhythm offensively, gave up 3 runs in the second and also 3 runs in the fourth. Other than that, Rafters just really couldn't get anything going. They couldn't get the bats going. They just were out hit 7-3. So you look at it, it was a game just about 30, 40 minutes ago. So now it's a brand new game, a brand new opportunity for this team to split the series. Mathematically, they are out of contention in the Great Lakes West Division to get first in the first half. So for them, you look at it, can they find a way to really just get going and get some offense going? They're going with a different pitcher. Hayden Cody will be getting the start on the mound. Cody, the Cal State Northridge product, who's had 3 games played with a 1-1 start, 1-1 versus Lakeshore, loss versus Wausau. So a rising redshirt sophomore out of Cal State Northridge and a Mission Viejo, California native. So Cody will be getting the start on the mound. Alex Duffy at catcher, Jack Gervich at first, Chris Conniff at second, Jorge Degatti at third, Garrett Broussard at shortstop. Anthony Gallison back in the lineup, was out of the lineup last game. He'll be slotted in at left field. Ty Johnson at center, and Logan Hugo, the Eastern Michigan product, at right field. As for the Chinooks, they're going with Ryan Sell getting the start on the mound for them, a guy that's had a 1-2 record. One versus Kalamazoo, loss versus Wausau and Green Bay. He's had 14 innings of work, allowing 17 hits, 13 runs, and 10 strikeouts with a 7.71 ERA. So Sell getting the start. Joey Spence at catcher. Drew Townsend at first base this time. Brady Council, the reliable second baseman, slotted in at the four position. Josh Overbeek at third. Gabe Ressler at shortstop. As Hunter Grimes at left field. Avery Owusu-Asedu at center, and Adam Kuwe in the lineup in right field. As for the Chinooks, they're going with Townsend, Grimes, and Spence to lead off. So you look at it, can the Rafters find a way to steal this game and get back to splitting the series? Because, remind you, this game was supposed to be obviously scheduled tonight. The game ago was supposed to be yesterday. So another 7-inning matchup in front of us. Rafters just, you know, for them, the key is offense. You know, you can't have 3 hits and expect to win a game. You also can't give up 6 runs. 2 of those innings obviously gave up 3 runs each, but for them, it was just the hitting was a big part, and they just really couldn't get anything going. They got a hit from Basir in the first, but other than that, it was for them just not really much hitting and only 3 hits. You know, a lot of their hits were flyouts, pop-ups, struck out, and that came at the hands of Matthew Moeller, the Gonzaga future pitcher. 7 strikeouts for him in 6 innings of work. So Cody will be getting the start today. And Hayden Cody's a guy that out of Cal State Northridge from Mission Viejo, California. So making another start on the mound and just looking to, you know, find his winning ways. He's actually 1-2. His record, 8 strikeouts, 12 innings of work. He lost his last game back on June the 24th versus Battle Creek, where the Raptors only had 1 hit and were shut out 2-0. So stepping in is Drew Townsend. So Townsend will be getting the start at the leadoff position. So Townsend is stepping in as a left-hander. So game number 2 in front of us. Lights have turned on at Witter Field. Crowd is alive and here as Hayden Cody will step in and throw the first offer out and inside for a strike, 0-1. So Drew Townsend leading off, slotted in at first base out of Missouri State and Kansas City, Missouri native. The 0-1 from Cody way outside as Duffy reaches out to grab it. 1-1. So Townsend batting a .245, 13 hits on 53 at-bats. He also has 10 runs as well, 16 walks. He's also been struck out 17 times. The 1-1 right down the pipe for a strike, 1-2. So Townsend usually slotted in at outfield, and today, well, he's put out at first. So 1-2, Hayden Cody will set and serve on a curveball that just goes below the zone, 2-2. 2-2. The 2-2. Sets an outside as Duffy wasn't able to grasp it. Goes behind him for the third ball. So 3-2 count. The Raptors' bullpen last game, though, they were successful. They had 11 strikeouts total between 4 pitchers. Sam Schmidt was the big standout. He had 4 strikeouts and had no hits and no runs allowed. The 3-2 outside edge for ball number 4. So the first batter of the game is walked as Townsend will take first. And this brings up Hunter Grimes, the left fielder. So Grimes went 1-for-4. He got a double last game. So out of the University of Arkansas, Kerrville, Texas native. As Cody will come set, deliver in, and just down low for a ball, 1-0. 1-0 count. Townsend stands at first. As Cody pick off over at first, and just late to the tag was Gurevich, but nearly in time. 1-0. Townsend stands at first. Hunter Grimes. Ahead in the count, 1-0. Cody, the second offering on a check swing. Did he come across? And did for a strike, 1-1. 1-1. Cody shakes it off. He'll come set again. Raptors in their military uniforms with the top, the camouflage tops with the United States flag on the front. As a swing and a ground ball over to the third baseman, Degatti flips it on over to second to Conniff. The throwback to first is not in time. But a good heads-up play there from the Indiana third baseman. Gets Townsend running at second. Getting to first is Grimes. 1 down, a runner on first. So Joey Spence will step in now. Out of Notre Dame in West Bend, Wisconsin. Spence, a guy that's slotted in at catcher today. Batting a .269, 11 RBIs for him and 2 home runs. Has the pickoff over at first, and Gurevich just not in time. Grimes slides headfirst into the bag. 1 down. Cody likes the pitch. He looks over at first. And comes set. In his respected position. And he throws it over at first and just late in time. That's the third time they've really had their eyes on Grimes, who got on base off of a fielder's choice. Cody likes it. On the left-hander of Spence. Cody serves in the first offering way outside. That was in the right-hander batter's box. That came in for a ball. Fastball at 91. 1-0 count. The 1-0 swinging a pop-up. Fouled off left side. 1-1. One ball, one strike, and one out. At first is Grimes. Cody will set in. The quick look at first. Fires the 1-1. A hit ground ball over to the shortstop and Broussard. The throwback to Konev is way in time over to Gervich, and he gets him. Excellent play there from the rafters. A 6-4-3 double play. We head to the bottom of the first here on WFHR.
You are listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR. Brought to you by Wisconsin River Orthopedics, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Aspirus Health, Solaris, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Delta Dental of Wisconsin, SNS Distributing, El Cafe, Edward Jones Sky Manning, Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, Crescenda Next Home Partners, and Dixon Gun Shop. Stream every game all season long at WFHR.com or through the Civic Media app. Rafters Baseball is brought to you by Sharon Zeman, Sky Manning, Clay Kanoki, and Joe Arnold, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones Financial Advisors. Learn how they can help you reach your financial goals. Visit EdwardJones.com. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Go yard this summer with cool cash rebates from Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, a proud partner of your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. Right now, you can upgrade to a new Bryant AC and get up to $1,350 in rebates and rewards on qualifying models. It's a surefire way to beat the summer heat and walk off in style. Comfort Air, your local experts, doing whatever it takes to keep you comfortable.
Hurry, this offer is good until the end of June. Get started now by visiting comfortair.biz. That's comfort, A-I-R-E.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Now, let's get back to exciting Rafters baseball here on WFHR.
Bottom of the first we go as Ryan Sell will make the start for the Chinooks out of Muskego, Wisconsin, and Rock Valley Community College. Three games appeared in with a 1-2 record, one versus Kalamazoo, lost versus Wausau and Green Bay. 14 innings of work, allowing 17 hits and 13 runs. He has 10 strikeouts as well, so the tall, lengthy left-hander will step in on the leadoff batter of Ty Johnson. So Johnson, 31 hits on 104 at bats, batting at 298. So last game he went 0 for 3 as the first pitch comes in down and away for a ball, 1-0. So 1-0 count. As Johnson sees in, but that comes down low for a strike, 1-1. A McLennan Community College alum heading to the Baylor Bears in Waco, Texas. The next season, the 1-1 from Sell, swinging a ground ball over to Council at second, fields it up in the glove, the lob over to first, and is right on the money for one down. So Jack Basir will step in now. Was one of three Rafters to have a hit last game. So So a guy that's looking to continue that here today, batting a .290, 27 hits on 93 at-bats. As he is the DH today, as first ball comes in down low, 1-0 count. So a Pepperdine former player, as he'll be hitting the TCU next season to continue his academic and baseball success. So he'll be playing his teammate Ty Johnson in the Big 12. Two balls, no strikes, one down, the 2-0 from Sal, and grazes the right edge. Fourth strike, 2-1. Two balls a strike, one down.